Welcome back, gamers, to the Uninformed Gamers Podcast. I am one of your hosts, Rad Dreams from Rad Dreams Review. And today, as always, the dynamic duo, Batman Robin. No, not really. But we have iChameleon I, also known as Chris.
Heyo.
And we also have the Tiger of Darkness. Darkness Tiger, Devin.
That is me. I didn't love that Batman and Robin analogy because that would assume one of us is the assistant to the other.
See, I disagree with that assertion with Batman and Robin, because if you want to be technical, Batman's only assistant is Alfred.
Let's be honest here. Robin is the assistant.
He's the sidekick. So there's a difference between a sidekick and an assistant.
Actually, no. I'm going to go ahead and say on record, Robin is an intern.
he's an unpaid intern.
Unpaid intern.
Well, he is.
I mean, you're not wrong. Here's the thing. Can Dick Grayson put that on his resume?
No.
I fight crime illegally.
Well, where's Dick Grayson's parents?
Oh.
They're dead, just like Bruce's.
Oh.
Well, Bruce was just like, oh, shit, man, your parents are dead, too? Come join the club. Terrible.
His parents were carnies, right?
Yeah, yeah. Dick Grayson's parents were trapeze artists that were murdered.
Jesus Christ.
But it's hard to prove because
at least the Wayne Corporation is giving out internships to the unfortunate.
Right? If only he was able to use his massive wealth to help uplift Gotham.
Or pay for the funeral.
Yeah. Shit.
Anything.
For real.
Bruce Wayne is a bit of a dick, but
A little bit. But on that note, gentlemen, what have you guys been up to in the gaming sphere?
I can go ahead and take this one. I'll start. As you guys know, I'm currently in Brazil, which may or may not be having a current military coup at this current moment.
It's not, but
there are massive talks about it.
Yikes.
And the military is like, no, we don't do that here. And yeah, it's been pretty interesting. They've been blocking off the streets and protesting. So in my gaming world, I've just been playing Assassin's Creed Valhalla. I'm starting to get into it a little bit more than I've been able to get into in the past. It's just such a slog. And I was about to actually start a new game today, but as I booted it up, got past the start screen, I saw that it has a multiplayer, and I was curious if you guys wanted to join me on this new adventure game I'm about to play.
What is it?
It's As Dusk Falls. It's that Xbox exclusive on Game Pass game.
Is that the one with the like movie-like
yes
thing?
Yeah.
I think I started that one. Let me double check.
I've been wanting to start it for the longest time because I love the idea of narration. I love the idea of where the story might go. I love how all the changes you can take. But for some reason, every time I boot it up, I always say to myself, now is not the right time to start this.
Yes, I did start this one.
Oh, well, never mind, Chris. I don't want to play with you then. Mason, do you want to play?
Sure. I mean, I could definitely look into it and see if it interests me.
Yeah, look into it. Chris, if you want to start over from the beginning, we can definitely all... Because apparently it's up to 8 multiplayer co-op.
I actually am not sure how that's going to work.
Well, I'm not sure either, but I saw that it was multiplayer. I was like, you know what? I'm going to back out of this. Today's not the day. I'll run it by you guys, and then we'll come back into it.
Okay.
So besides Assassin's Creed Valhalla, I haven't been doing too much gaming because by the time I get home, I'm like kind of tired. But I did learn something. Since I've been in here, Netflix has been kind of doing this weird, hey, we don't want you guys sharing your...
Yeah, the sharing of accounts. They're starting to crack down on that like a lot.
Yes, and the crackdown started in Latin America. They weren't going to really bring this to the United States because people would revolt. But I completely forgot about this until I wanted to watch Netflix. I booted up the Netflix, and it says that I have too many users on my Netflix. I need to log them out before I can use this account.
Oh, you have to log them out?
Bro. Yeah.
You can't even just turn off the device.
No, oh, wow.
Them out.
Wow.
Because only one person can be logged in at a time.
Oh my god.
Yes. And I was like, are you serious? So I sent, like, because I was booting it up, and it said that Chris, who we currently share a Netflix account, Chris was in, and I'm like, hey, well, I'm just, like, out of joking. I'm like, hey, apparently you're blocking me from watching Netflix. And then Chris kindly backed out, and I got into it again, and I'm like, oh, there's three other people watching it.
Jesus Christ.
So I'm like, well, guess I'm not watching Netflix. But I was able to hop in today earlier when you guys were probably at work. And yeah. I was able to finish watching the movie that I started, which is a movie I've seen several times, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, one of my favorite Quentin
Tarantino. Oh, such a good movie.
Such a great film.
The thing that I enjoy most about that movie is that it's like a alternate universe or like a alternate retelling of that event, you know?
Oh, absolutely.
It's like, okay, well, what if, you know, what if Manson was stopped?
Yeah, what if Brad Pitt and Leonardo DiCaprio were right next door?
Yeah, I just thought that it was so interesting.
See, I thought it was interesting, but I think the most unrealistic part of the movie was, outside of the flamethrower, was the fact that Leonardo DiCaprio was dating a woman his age.
Yeah, right?
I saw this weird, it was a comical TikTok. It was talking about military time. Like somebody explaining how military time goes. They're like, okay, so military time technically starts at 00001. That's the new start of the day. And it goes up to 24. And once it reaches 2359, once it reaches 24, it restarts back over. And then they screenshot it like Leonardo DiCaprio. It's just like, I really love this concept. because Leonardo DiCaprio historically does not date anybody over the age of 25. Once they reach 25, 26, he breaks up with them and goes back to somebody younger.
Oh my God. That is so shitty.
I mean, if it was a little bit, if it was a few years younger, we might have some comments to make about Leonardo DiCaprio, but we're going to leave those R. Kelly comments alone for right now.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's all I've been doing. Just trying to watch Netflix and Assassin's Creed Valhalla.
Nice.
Very nice. Me? So I've actually been playing COD. I won't lie.
Really?
Yep.
Wow.
The girlfriend got, so like me and the girlfriend game share. And so a game shares both Game Pass and any games that either of us buy. And her friend gifted her the new Call of Duty. I was like,
that's well, kind it's of
free. Yeah, exactly. So I was like, well, it's free. So I was like, I'll try it. It's not bad.
Okay.
I will say I thoroughly enjoyed the campaign. The graphics were incredibly realistic. Like, did you guys watch that little clip I sent you? Like, when they're in Amsterdam on the canal.
Yes, I did see that. That was a nice compilation there.
Right, and that was straight up no cutscene. That was just straight up. You just straight gameplay. That was straight gameplay. And it looks incredibly beautiful. Like I enjoyed the campaign thoroughly, like the little quick story they told you, because it's only like 8 hours or something. I only had a gripe that there you have to pilot this drone in two missions back to back, and I felt like it was a little bit too much. Like one drone mission would have been enough. So I was like, okay, that was cool. The second one, I was like, man, come on now. Like I'm like, I don't want to do this anymore. So that was like overall, I thoroughly enjoyed the campaign. I would say it's probably like an 8.5. I thought they did actually a fantastic job with it.
Nice. Yeah. That's really cool to hear.
Yeah, like it's like one of those things. It's like I understand that it's Call of Duty. It's a shooting game. Like I understand like that their main audience is the multiplayer. But they took the time. They actually like developed actually a good like a pretty solid story. Pretty funny like voice lines by the characters, and the graphics touch was really really nice on it. So I've been playing that. So I beat the campaign, and then I've been playing multiplayer. The multiplayer, the gunplay on the multiplayer is actually like really good. It's like it's top tier. I don't love the map designs. Like, there's very few maps I like legitimately like maybe two. And I felt like there's not enough maps, in my opinion.
Okay.
The game's kind of like released in an unfinished state, so it's pretty buggy with certain menus and stuff. But they've been addressing that as it goes. Like, definitely, like last night was the least buggy I felt. Like, it feels like it's in a much better state. But there's definitely a lot of missing modes. Like, hardcore mode just was strictly just not in the game, but it's coming soon. And there's a whole bunch of other modes that are coming soon. So overall, I have thoroughly enjoyed it. And yeah, it's been a good time. It's like, I haven't played literally since like Black Ops 2. So, it's been a long hiatus for me.
How's your sniper rifle action, Chris?
I have not picked up the sniper.
Oh, okay. Cause I know that was like one of your good weapons.
Oh yeah, man. You know, I was pretty solid with
do the 360 no scope.
Oh yeah, that's right, boy. I'll bring it back because there's a sniper everybody's been using and it's fucking broken. They just walk up to you and one shot. I'm like, okay, wait till I get that boy in my hands.
Yep.
But yeah, it's been fun. That's good. If you haven't been to the series in a long time, like me, I actually think it's pretty worth it.
That's nice. Yeah, because like the last time I played COD was Black Ops 2.
Yeah, same with me.
Ironically, the last time I played COD was the original Modern Warfare 2.
True. Yeah, that was even longer ago. And that was a top tier. Like, that was that and the first Modern Warfare were my favorite too.
Oh, yeah.
So, do you think this Modern Warfare is going to be up in there in your top five?
I think so. It'd be Modern Warfare, Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops 2. I guess it could technically make the top five because it would be the fifth one that I've played.
All right.
Actually, I played two other ones, but they like I played them for like 5 minutes and was like, this is complete trash. So I can't really consider those ones. But yeah, I would actually say it would jump the top five.
Okay.
All right, Mason, what's been going on in your world?
Well, not a lot of video gaming, but I've been doing some other types of gaming, and I'm speaking, of course, in the trading card gaming realm. I've been playing and playtesting a lot of Digimon Card Battle, and the physical card game, not the digital one that came out for the PlayStation in like, what was it, the early 2000s? Or even the OG physical card game that came out in like the early 2000s as well. But no, the new one. You guys know that I've been playing it for like 2 years now.
Oh, yeah.
And last night was a in-real-life store championship where, good players go to this event, and the winner of the event has the opportunity to, win a invitation to a national tournament. And this year, it is going to be located in real life for the very first time in Los Angeles, California, in February. And I'm happy to report that I ended up winning the entire tournament.
That's what's up, dude. Congrats.
Congratulations.
Man. Thank you.
You excited to go to Nationals?
Oh, dude, I'm very, very excited. Not only to go, because I've never been to California.
That's cool.
So that'll be fun to do. But I'll also get to go with, a group of guys that I play cards with. So it'll be kind of cool for like, it'll be like a guys trip sort of thing.
Yeah, that's awesome, dude. So they pay for your plane ticket. That's awesome. That's really cool.
Do they pay for like the hotel? Do they pay for
food? No, everything else is on the player. But from what I've heard, if you do end up doing a plane ticket, they reimburse you.
Pretty dope.
Which is still cool.
Yeah, absolutely. You get an opportunity to see the City of Angels.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, the event itself went really well. Two out of the four matches that I did were pretty close. The other two matches, no, not so much, but not to like discount my opponents or anything like that. It's just, it wasn't as difficult, you know?
He said, I don't want a showboat, but
like I was like, my second round match was probably harder than my final round match, which is weird.
That's, well, you made it, dude.
Yeah. All that matters. Yeah,
you,
definitely.
You are victorious.
Exactly. I've had a lot of close calls in terms of getting an invitation, but never have I actually gotten it. I've like almost tasted victory, only for it to be snatched away at the very end. But this time I was able to power all the way through.
Exactly. That's awesome, dude.
Yeah, yeah, very congrats. Excited to go. I'll be recording a video about it and posting it to my YouTube channel. So shameless plug there. Make sure you check it out. Red Dreams Review, YouTube. Shameless plug. Let's go.
That's right.
But awesome. Yeah. With that being said though, we can probably dive into our first story today, which is going to be about PlayStation, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk PlayStation. Hello, PlayStation. It's been a while, little friend.
Has it though?
Hello, darkness, my old.
Nope. No, it hasn't.
yeah, Devin, you hit the nail on the head with the darkness.
Oh, yeah. As somebody who has a PlayStation 5, I'm very in tune on this news. Yes. I feel like I have a position in which I can speak. I like to call it a high horse. I might even call it a pedestal. I am not the demographic for VR. The reason being...
Me neither.
It is what it is. I have a very nice TV. I travel a lot, and there's not really been any kind of game that I really want to play on VR. So for me, PlayStation announced they're going to do VR 2. One of the big things that kind of made people upset was that the VR 2 is not going to be compatible with anything that the VR 1 did. So all of those games you bought, you can throw them in the trash, delete them off your PlayStation. They're not going to be useful in any way, shape, or form.
That kind of pisses me off, honestly. Yeah. And I don't play VR, but that would piss me off.
Yes. I am with you. So I did a little research on why that is. And so there was a technical reason. So the original PSVR used like the Move controllers. And because PSVR 2 doesn't use the Move controllers, there was no way for it to easily some backwards compatibility support it. They would actually have to ask the developers to go back and redevelop the game for PSVR 2 because of the motion tracking controls are totally different.
Hmm.
So I get the technical difficulties with it. I get it. It still doesn't feel any better. It's like, you know what I mean? Like... It felt like they came out with PSVR trying to use those Move controllers that no one used, that never had a real purpose. And because they went and used it that route, you unfuture proofed yourself. And so now that none of the games are like compatible with it, so it sucks.
Wow.
So I like how you put that, unfuture proof yourself.
That's nice. Product that they didn't expect to last a long time. Who could have guessed?
Yeah. So it I don't know. For me, like when I think about something, if I were like an inventor to invent something, I'm like, okay, I'm going to invent this thing and I'm going to make sure that I invent a way for it to, I don't know, continue on into the future. Like, let's say a new model comes out. If there's stuff that I like the previous model had, oh, you can use the attachments on it. It'd be nice, right? So I just don't understand. Like, I don't understand their engineering team. I'm sorry. Like, maybe they were like really pushed on some heavy deadlines. I just don't get it.
Well, I think it's probably built into the Sony cake. It's kind of like, yeah, we probably could make this compatible. We probably could go back and retool things, but why would we?
Yeah. Well, you know why they won't? Because of the money. We all know what it is.
When the PS5 came out, Sony was just like, y'all don't need backwards compatible. You've got new games coming. And then people were like, wait, what new games?
What new games?
Right. But looking at this PlayStation VR 2, it's got some pretty impressive specs. It's pretty powerful. Yeah, it's a very powerful thing. Yep. The problem is, one of the problems that I find is that it's not wireless.
Yeah, that is an issue for me too, because when you have that thing on your head and you're moving around, you don't want to get like tangled up or trip or...
Yep. I am with you there.
Yeah, I because I'm always afraid that I'm just going to yank it immediately out the wall.
Yeah.
Yeah, and pull over your PlayStation. Because it's got to be tied to it.
Yeah, because it's got to be tied to it. So some of the technology that the VR2 has, Sense technology, which includes key features that enable unique gameplay experiences, such as headset feedback, eye tracking, 3D audio, and the adaptive triggers and haptic feedback from the PS VR2 Sense controllers. Additionally, with enhanced headset-based controller tracking and high-fidelity visuals in 4000 by 2040 HDR video, 2000 by 2040 per eye, PS VR2 adds a true next-gen game experience for players to enjoy. This is coming from the PlayStation blog. We've created the PS VR2 headset with comfort in mind and a slightly slimmer and lighter design compared to our previous headset. We've also included an integrated vent for extra airflow and a lens adjustment dial for a more customized feel. We hope players will enjoy the new design. Now,
it sounds great.
It does sound great. And one thing that when I was reading into this and researching was that if you're playing a game, because it has this eye tracking, if your eyes go in any direction, the screen will actually focus as to where your eyes are going.
Which is pretty awesome.
Whereas in the last one, you could like look in a direction, but if you look to the left, it would still be sort of unfocused. That's no longer a thing. So it's very powerful. As I'm telling you guys this, how much money would you pay to adopt this, to bring this into your home?
I would, okay.
Realistically. I know you guys know the price, but realistically.
I know the price. That's a tough question. All right. I would be comfortable spending $300.99 $399.99. So $400.
Oh, okay.
That is strangely specific.
$300.99. I was like, wait a minute.
You know, like $399.99.
Yes. Yeah, okay. Yeah. No, that was funny though.
Sorry.
$0.99, no tax.
I was like, damn, I don't think I've ever seen that one.
I was like, wait a second. Chris, what about you?
I was literally gonna say the same thing, about $400.
See, as somebody who has a PlayStation PS5 and somebody who has a game that would really benefit from VR2, Gran Turismo 7, which I'm like, this is perfect. For me, I think this is more of a $299 thing to really get me to adopt it. I know. Yeah. I'm willing.
You're
to
not the market.
I'm not the market. I know that this is a very good technology. I fully understand this. However, and again, I'm not going to buy it because Sony has announced that the PlayStation VR2 is going to be $549.99 in the United States. However, there is an asterisk. There's an asterisk people are not talking about.
Yes.
That's just the VR2. That does not actually include the charging station for it.
Right.
Which is another $50.
It's it's pretty crazy. I just don't get it.
Well, I think what Sony could have did to, I guess, make up for it is like, hey, at launch, we're going to go ahead and include a bunch of different games. Because you know what? That would be like the right thing to do. You guys are dropping more for the headset than you are for the console itself. So you would think that they would release games with it, right?
Yeah, that would make sense.
You're going to have to buy that separately. And you would think that they'd have an amazing lineup because they're about to spend $549 for it, right?
Yeah, you know, you would hope.
Well, I'm going to just start listing some games. There's 11 games that are going to be coming out releasing during the first year. Now, keep in mind, I just said during the first year. That did not say at release. So in the first year, you're going to get the Dark Pictures Switchback VR, which is a roller coaster game where you shoot creatures. You're going to get Crossfire Sierra Squad, which is a game where you shoot things.
Yep.
You're going to get the Light Brigade, which is a game where you shoot things.
So for a second there, Devin, I thought when you were describing like the roller coaster game, I thought you were going to say where you shoot the fucking coaster riders.
Yes, Mason, you are on one today, where you shoot your passengers as they're getting off the Cedar Point ride.
Wow. Shooting fish in a barrel. Pew, pew.
Yep. Attention, riders, how was your ride? Put your hands up. The next game, pissed me off.
That's hilarious.
I saw this on YouTube because I'm like, I don't know how this would be VR. Cities VR Enhanced Edition. It's literally just the game with your hand doing things. I'm like, this.
Wait, the one where you build the cities?
Yeah, City Skyline. Yeah.
Oh my god.
That's VR. And I'm like, I don't see how this is VR. And that's like playing Civilizations doing VR.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
Okay, the next one is Cosmonius High. I'm assuming it's a shooting game. Followed by Hello Neighbor Search and Rescue, which if you're familiar with Game Pass, you know what Hello Neighbor is.
Good. That one would be kind of cool. A little I kind of like the idea of that one.
Increases the difficulty as you go. Yeah. Jurassic World Aftermath Collection, which I do not know what that is.
Nope.
Pistol Whip VR, the shooting game.
Pistol Whip VR, you're joking.
I kid you not. That is actually the name.
Developed. Oh my god. Why? Why?
I don't know. Zenith, the Last City, After the Fall, and the final game is Tentacular.
Tentacular.
So my question to you is, out of these 11 games, which one would you be willing to drop $549, then $50 to charge it, then $50 to $70 for the game?
Plus tax.
I mean, nothing really speaks out to me, you know?
Nothing.
So... Here's my thing about VR, really, and where it stands today. If VR isn't going to be like fucking Dot Hack Sign or Sword Art Online, yes. I am not going to get it.
Yes.
Or give me Ready Player One, you know?
Yes.
You know, give me that. That's what I want.
That's what Facebook wants.
Facebook is garbage. Did you? Dude, did you see was it Phil Spencer that basically called out Mark Zuckerberg?
Yeah, I don't think I did.
Did you see that where he basically shit all over Meta and like their VR chat or whatever?
Yeah,
like was it saying he said basically this is like a shitty VR game or something?
Yeah. Well,
Phil Spencer he said that the way the metaverse is going right now, I don't want to spend all my time in an office meeting. and I'm just like, well, that's one
he's
way.
Not to wrong.
But then somebody clapped back and they're like, didn't Microsoft just make an agreement with Meta to like bring teams to the metaverse?
Hey man, you got to take advantage of the market. He's not a part of he's part of the Xbox team.
Those were like, nothing to do with Microsoft teams.
Nope. That is not his deal.
But whatchamacallit, Kotaku ran the numbers. They said that if you are a true VR enthusiast, if you wanted to buy the PSR VR 2 headset with the controller, the stereo headset, and the charging dock being additional $50, plus a PS5, it's going to cost you $1,000 just to get into this.
Yeah, no. I'm not spending $1,000. No, thank you.
To play Cities VR.
No. Oh. And plus, you have to dedicate a space to it. Like, you almost have to dedicate, like, an entire room.
Yeah. You like need it's a specific just, amount of space to
like it's
work
just
with
I don't know, it's not practical, you know?
Yeah.
Not in the slightest.
One of the things that really hurts, and this hurts even more after what Sony's done. So mind you, Sony recently has done a price hike.
Yeah.
On top of that, the PSVR has different values depending on what country you're in. So let's look at Canada. Let's look at Canada, our friends up north. So that PSVR 2 base headset, instead of the $549, it's $749.
Yeah, but that's Canadian money, which is like Monopoly money, right?
Yeah, it's not real money.
Shut up. Shut up.
I'm kidding. Hey, sorry for any Canadian listeners. I'm just joking.
All right. So there's a PlayStation VR 2 Horizon Call of the Mountain bundle. It's $819.
Damn.
The charging station is $64.99 Canadian dollars.
For a charging station?
Yep.
That seems pretty excessive for a charging station.
Wait, hold on. So what was the charge? So it was 64. How much was it in Canada?
$64.99.
It actually, you know what's interesting?
What?
It would be cheaper for you to go to Canada and buy it.
Oh, really? What's the conversion?
Because $64.99 Canadian dollars is $47.39 US.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's cheaper for you to drive across the border and buy it.
What? Okay, interesting.
But if you're Canadian and you drive to the United States, you're going to be paying more, $68.61.
Yeah, so you see what I mean? So, like,
America Target Experience.
Let's just think about this. So, you've got the PS5, $500.
Yep.
And then everywhere else, like in the States, $500. Everywhere else, it's 10% more.
Yeah.
You've got this $549 headset in the United States again. Everywhere else, let's say it was $750 just for Canada's sake. $750. So let's see. PS5 in Canada, I believe, is five. No, it's actually more. I don't remember what it is right now in Canada. The price hike. Let me take a real quick look.
Do a quick little fact check.
So that is crazy. What is that price? Hold the fuck. $649. So $640 in Canada. Basically, you're spending over a grand. Like not like a base grand. You're getting close to like 1500.
Yeah, which is a lot for gaming. Like if I'm gonna spend $1500, I'm gonna get myself like a nice like gaming PC or something.
Exactly. And that's where I'm gonna pull you guys back to. For me to get into that VR headset, I would have needed it to be PC compatible.
Yeah,
and compatible those games that's already on Steam that are VR compatible with all these different headsets. But it's not.
Well, which is unfortunate. Like, I feel like it should be compatible.
Well, as of this moment, they said it's not compatible. However, because of because it's like using like a normal USB, they said that it might be in the future. But
I don't want to, you know, rest my laurels on a might. You know,
no, don't. Yeah. Not knowing Sony, it won't be. They'll like do something. They'll cut the cord before that happens.
They'll charge $200 more for the PC adapter.
Yeah, Sony apparently is being very anti. Well, we talk about Sony being not consumer friendly.
Yeah, we beat that horse.
Yeah,
we beat that horse, and that kind of moves us into our next story.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, like, speaking of Sony and having issues, the next story comes via their PlayStation Plus, which has lost roughly 2 million subscribers since its relaunch.
Yep.
Which isn't surprising to me because me being a still PlayStation user, ever since they relaunched PlayStation Plus, like, I have been extremely unhappy with it.
Yeah.
Because it's just, it's convoluted, it's complex, and it doesn't quite offer what it used to unless you want to pay a little bit more.
Yeah.
you know, you doing the
demos now, baby.
Doing the premium level. Because they've got tiers.
Yeah.
To their PlayStation Plus subscriptions, like, which is like weird.
Yeah, it's like basic, essential, or something premium. I forget exactly what it was.
Yeah, the chief financial officer Hiroki Totoki admitted that, quote, there hasn't been great momentum as a whole. You know, referring to the PlayStation Plus relaunch. And that he allowed, and I shouldn't say allowed, but he alluded to that Sony didn't aggressively promote it as much as they should have. Oh, this is hilarious. He does another comment saying that this tough period is because, quote, more people are going outdoors.
I think this is really funny, but not what for the reason fuck? You think.
This dude. All right, so there's a saying on the internet where it goes, you know, touching grass, right? I'm sure you both are familiar with that expression, right?
I am not.
Touch grass.
Yeah, touching grass.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, Devin, like, basically, what it means to touch grass is to like be, I guess, cognizant of the outside world, more or less.
Okay.
So, for him to say, "Oh, yeah, this tough period is because more people are being more, you know, cognizant of outdoors and touching grass because, you know, the coronavirus pandemic is getting easier." It's just like, dude, even before the pandemic hit, people were gaming.
Are you? I love how like Sony's scapegoat is like life.
Yeah, right.
Like the reason we're losing all this money is because people have lives now.
Yeah, but, no, I disagree with that. It's because you're not catering to your audience.
Yeah, and a lot of people said that the PlayStation Plus doesn't really have anything that they want. It was marketed weird. It had a weird rollout. And even Sony willing to admit that they didn't do a very good marketing, which if you do good marketing, you recognize you didn't do that. What do you expect?
But yeah, exactly.
Going back to why I thought that was funny, but not for the reasons you think, that, the reason it's not successful is because people are started going outside. Well, I hate to go back to the PlayStation VR 2. When do you think the PlayStation VR 2 is going to release? Right on time for Christmas?
Yeah.
It's one would think.
Nope. February.
Really?
When people go back outside.
Right when they go touch grass, you know?
Right when they go touch grass. Like right when spring break is about to start. And I'm just like, man, Sony couldn't read the room if they had glasses on.
Here's the for thing. Real. So they know, we all know, it's not because people are going outside.
No. Like,
that is just flat out
the most. That's just hogwash right there.
you're deflecting. You're not a good deflection either. Like, okay, dude. Like, if you think gamers are just going to start going outside and not doing what they normally do, you're fucking wild. Like, they're going to do what they normally do and play the game.
Yeah, exactly. Like, even before the pandemic hit, like, you know, gaming was huge.
Yep. Still, it's getting bigger every day.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, that's like you said, Chris, like, it's a deflection. It's a non-answer. It's a non-reason.
Yeah. So here's my thing. Here's what I actually think this is. I think that the consumers are seeing the value that Microsoft is pushing with Game Pass. They are seeing that, hey, even though this year Xbox doesn't really have any first party games coming out, but next year and going forward, they have like literally like 30 plus studios. So why would I pay for Sony's subscription where I don't even get access to first party games day one, when I can just go over to the Microsoft and I can do that on, I can play Game Pass on my phone, my PC, my Xbox. Shit. If I even have too much space on like used on my Xbox, I can even cloud fucking stream a game to my Xbox. Like where is Sony pulling the market at all? Like they're not going to pull like really any market share from Microsoft in that. Like, if you wanted to be like really smart about this, you would try and find a way to make it so that you can bring your games to your subscription day one, just like the competitor's doing.
Yeah, but that's so literally, that's not what Sony's doing.
Right.
Sony wants you just, you have to buy a PlayStation, and we want you to stay in your living room. Nothing else.
Yeah, they want you to stay in the old model.
Which, I mean, that's their way of doing business, because they own, 80-some% of the market right now, so I guess it's working.
They do?
They own a lot. But if that's the way Sony wants to operate, cool. But as we're saying, it's not really working out for them as their sales are beginning to slow down. And if people see that there's other options in the gaming sphere, specifically Microsoft, who is slowly... we'll get to Microsoft in this. So don't think that we're just beating up on Sony today. We're about to get to Microsoft. But we have one more PlayStation story.
Yeah, it's not that like we're specifically targeting Sony. It's just like they kind of are in this perfect whirlwind of stories right now.
Yeah, they had a big week.
Whether it's a good week,
Does Sony ever have a good week?
Sometimes, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
But let's talk about what Sony is very good but very bad week that was supposed to be their okay. So we talk about potential game of the year contenders. Elden Ring is most likely going to be the game of the year, hands down.
Without a doubt.
But the next possible game of war contender was going to be God of War Ragnarok.
Absolutely.
That is what everybody's holding their breath for. Sony is really pushing hardcore to bring this game out. And everybody was like, oh, this game is going to be the best. It's going to fully utilize the PlayStation power, right?
Yeah, it's going to fully utilize it, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you would think.
It's 100% true. The God of War Ragnarok is actually going to use 100% of the PlayStation power, the PlayStation 4 power. This was just recently announced that they built God of War Ragnarok for PS4, and all they're doing is enhancing it for PS5.
That's funny. So that cracks me up, because you'll see one toxic fan base on Twitter, and they swear to God that the Series S is holding back the generation. They swear that the Series S is so not powerful of a next-gen console that it's holding things back. Well, Sony just told you, we just made this new game for the PS4 and not your shiny new PS5. Yeah. So who's really holding the generation back?
So the developer, one of the developers on the project, Bruno Valquez, he goes on to say that all the design goals the studio had in mind were achieved on the PS4. So the PS5 is essentially an enhancement of what's already possible in the PS4 version. He mentioned some of the PS5 exclusive features, such as 3D audio, haptic feedback, higher frame rate, and better graphics. That said, he states the PS4 version is also a visual improvement over the 2018 version. The studio's goal was ultimately to make a great PS4 game and then have an enhanced version to PS5. I think that's scummy. I think that is so scummy. And I 100% get why you need to make a PS4 version, because Sony wants to keep that alive. But people are expecting this grandiose, great game, and it's not even exclusive to PS5. It's going to be PS4. You can get it on PS4, and it's going to be built for PS4, just enhanced to PS5. I think this is dumb. I think this is scummy. I don't like this at all.
I don't like it either. I would have done things totally different, but I'm not a part of that engineering team.
If only CD Projekt Red would have did that. Hey, we're going to build it for Xbox One and PS4, and then we're going to enhance it to PS5 instead of the other way around.
Honestly, they would have gotten so much less flack for that.
They would have definitely gotten so much less flack. But yeah, I don't think that's a great thing. And knowing that it's a fully realized PS4 game, I don't think it's going to be game of the year contender. It's not showcasing the PS5 power, which, to be fair, we haven't seen a whole lot of games that do showcase the PS5.
No,
power.
We haven't.
Like,
nothing.
No, all these quote-unquote exclusives turn out to be, it's really built for the PS4, but we're moving it over, upgrading for the PS5. I truly do not believe. Yeah, Gran Turismo 7 is very good, but it's also on the PS4 as well.
Right.
I don't think that people can continue making the argument, PlayStation 5 is having all these great exclusives. They're not really. There's been no game that everybody's like, oh, this is the best game ever. No, not this generation. We're still early into this. Sony needs to drop the PS4 requirement. Yes, you can make the argument that the Xbox Series X does hold gaming back because it is a lower power tier. However, you can also make that exact same argument on the Sony side by them keeping the PS4 alive.
Yeah, absolutely.
So let's move off of PlayStation. Congratulations, PlayStation. You had a very disappointing but okay week. let's go back to the game that Chris has been playing, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
When you hopped
in the Modern Warfare multiplayer, was there a lot of people? Was there like lag? Did you have to wait? What was it with the multiplayer?
So Activision actually does a really good job with servers. They try and keep them up like almost all the time because they know that their game launches are typically very large. So I actually didn't have server problems when I loaded up the game.
I was about to say, you said something about servers and Activision having really good servers, but I'm like, Overwatch 2 had good servers?
Overwatch 2 is a different beast.
Okay.
I was going to ask you about that, Chris, because I noticed, you know, you're playing it.
Yeah. All right. Infinity Ward, Activision.
There you go.
Because they know Call of Duty
Activision
is
Activision Blizzard,
right? Because they know that Call of Duty is the biggest franchise out there. They know that the servers need a lot of servers. So I haven't had server problems. I find the game pretty quick. Let's say 20 seconds. It's not very long at all.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty positive. Effect there with people, like very full lobbies.
Well, the reason I ask is because generally when a Call of Duty game comes out, it's a moneymaker. There's no ands, ifs, or buts about it. It's going to make a little bit of money. Well, apparently, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 not only made a little bit of money, Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 annihilated every Call of Duty before it. Modern Warfare 2, in its first 3 days of release, have sold $800 million worth of copies.
Wow.
Crazy. That's a lot of money.
Yes. It beat out Modern Warfare 3 in 2011. Modern Warfare 3 previously had $400 million of sales on day one, then $775 million within the 5 days, before hitting $1 billion in sales in 16 days. Jeez. Modern Warfare 2 should easily do that by the end of the first week. The only game to top it is Grand Theft Auto 5, which did $1 billion in 3 days.
Oh my god.
That's insane, dude.
So
I didn't know that about Grand Theft Auto.
I didn't know that either.
Yes, the second biggest game of all time is right now Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2.
Huh.
That's nuts.
That is a fun fact.
And do you see why Sony is upset with Microsoft right now?
Oh yeah. I mean, I can see it.
Yeah. I get it. It's a money ploy.
It is.
I get it.
But why is this one sold more than all the others? Like, I don't understand why this one is the one that people rush to. Is it because of the Modern Warfare 2?
Yes, I would say so, because Modern Warfare was probably one of the most popular ones.
Yep. I would also say that it may be because this one had three different Call of Duty studios working on it.
Okay.
So it has... it has that potential to be the best one ever, you know?
Yeah.
It hasn't lived up to that fully because the maps are not great. But if they put some new maps in, release more of the modes and everything, you know, it may have a good argument.
Well, I do appreciate that Activision, I guess, wanted to put this into context about how much money this made. And it says the blockbuster opening for Modern Warfare 2 tops any of the biggest worldwide box office openings of 2022, surpassing Top Gun Maverick and Doctor Strange Multiverse of Madness worldwide box office openings combined. So it's basically saying that we've made more money than movies.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you can really make the comparison because it's a weird comparison to make. But I guess it's neat. So congratulations to Infinity Ward. Congratulations to Activision Blizzard, which we really don't say a whole lot here.
Yeah, seriously. Congrats. I mean, I'm glad those development teams, their hard work paid off. Because at the end of the day, like, I don't love how Activision's run. I just don't. But I'm glad the people working there are at least putting out a product that people are enjoying.
Yeah. So since we're talking about Activision Blizzard, let's cut over to a quick story about Microsoft. Mace, you want to bring us this one?
Yeah, I can. So I know we like to dunk on Sony, but, and again, that's not because we like hate them or anything like that. That's the way the dice roll sometimes. But Microsoft is in the news, and not for like good news, so to speak. So it turns out that when Microsoft sells their consoles, now I don't know if this is in relation to the Xbox Series X, the S, or like what console sales like this is applicable to. You guys will have to let me know.
Yep, I'll let you know
which consoles this applies to. But according to Microsoft, they lose between roughly $100 to $200 per console sold.
So basically,
and then they make up the difference through like accessories and subscriptions.
So yeah. The Series S is the one that loses $100. The Series X loses $200.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That is something that's been pretty standard for console for years.
Yes.
The whole notion. It's always usually been around 100. So to hear the Series X is losing 200, that is wild.
Yeah, it is a lot. And as previously stated, Phil Spencer did say that he is not going to raise prices during the holiday season. However, afterwards, we will be seeing a price increase on Xbox consoles.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, I'm actually genuinely surprised that we're going to start seeing that from them. But, I mean, we'll see what happens when we get there. We'll see. Because I will have words.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully,
billion-dollar companies.
if the price increase does end up happening for Xbox and their consoles, hopefully it's not like too egregious.
Yeah.
Well, like I imagine it would be like an extra $50.
Yeah,
but you would still be losing money on that. Like,
yes,
right? I think no matter which way we look at it, Microsoft's kind of got to resign itself. It's like, hey, we're not making money off Xbox. We're making money off by bringing people into the community.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like their business model is more so focused on the additional features, whereas Sony's more so concerned about like console software, etc.
Yeah. Well, all right. Let's move over to another story that I do want to talk about, and that has to do with one of our favorite TV series, The Witcher. Now, you guys have seen The Witcher, right? You guys are all caught up?
Not caught up, but I have seen it.
I am not caught up in the least bit.
I saw the first season.
Yeah, I saw season one and that's it.
Yes.
Same. I think season two definitely improves on season one. Okay. I'm fully caught up.
Watch that.
I love The Witcher. At first, I didn't really love it, but I rewatched it. I really fell in love with it. And what I fell in love with was the fact that Henry Cavill, also known as Superman, was The Witcher.
Yeah, he was perfect.
He was perfect. He really loves the
yeah, he loves character. The lore. He loves the game.
Yep. And he's basically the perfect Geralt.
I mean, he is.
And when it was announced that he was going to be going back to Superman, around the same time it was also announced that he will no longer, as of season four of The Witcher, we're currently about to release season three, I want to say in January. As of season four, he will no longer be playing The Witcher. The new role is going to go to Liam Hemsworth. Now, it was assumed that the reason was because he was playing Superman, right?
Yeah.
Rumor has it that that's not true.
What's the rumor?
The rumor is that apparently he doesn't seem to like the direction in which Netflix wants to go with this.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
because there was an interview, and let me see if I can. I have it pulled up right here. There was an interview that one of the writers did that basically said, or not one of the writers, one of the creators basically said that the writers of the show openly mock. Okay, here it is. The writer. I've been on shows, namely The Witcher, where some of the writers were not or actively disliked the books and games, even actively mocking the source material. It's a recipe for disaster and bad morale. Fandom as a litmus test checks egos and makes all the long nights worth it. You have to respect the work before you're allowed to add its legacy. So it's rumored to believe that Henry Cavill might not like people, the writers, disrespecting one of his favorite lores to the point where he's going to walk away from it.
I mean, good for him, honestly. Yeah.
Stick to your guns.
Yeah, I honestly respect him a lot for that.
Yeah, and I saw that Liam Hemsworth is taking the role, and they're like, Liam Hemsworth from the Mockingbird fame. And I'm like, Liam Hemsworth was in the Mockingbird, the Hunger Games?
Yeah, he was indeed.
I'm like, wow.
I don't remember who he played,
but I do remember him being in it.
I remember Liam Hemsworth from Cabin in the Woods. But
Was that Liam Hemsworth or was that Chris?
I don't know. They look the same to me.
Because they're brothers, right?
Yeah, they're brothers. No, they
just I think Chris Hemsworth was in Cabin in the Woods.
Let's see here. Yep, you are right. Liam Hemsworth, whose spouse was Miley Cyrus for 2 years, was in Hunger Games, The Last Song, Most Dangerous, Hunger Games, Dressmaker. So yeah, outside of the Hunger Games, which he didn't star in, I don't care what anybody says, he hasn't had a really big thing to fall on. So I
guess. No. That actually surprises me because I recognize his face. So I've had to have seen him in a decent amount.
You recognize his brother's face.
Oh, yeah.
His brother.
Chris Hemsworth, Thor.
Oh. Yeah. So, I would never even thought about that.
Yeah, because right. he's known for the Hunger Games. So who did he play? Did he play PETA?
I don't know if he's known for the Hunger Games. If we don't know who he played.
Oh, no, he played Gale.
I don't remember who that is. I'm not.
Yeah, right, so in the books, Gale was essentially the love interest outside of PETA, which was like the Force love interest.
Okay.
So it kind of like if you read the books, what really pissed me off was that like Katniss was essentially supposed to get with Gale, but like she basically stuck with PETA out of like pity and like sympathy, and it just put a really sour taste in my mouth.
If you read the books, you realize you don't like Katniss as a character.
No.
Like I saw the movies. I'm like, oh, I actually really love these movies. And I read the book. And I'm like, wow, I do not like Katniss.
Yeah, like she's kind of garbage, but
she is kind of garbage.
Like I was so mad that she ended up with PETA. I was just like, what the fuck? You were forced to be with him, and now you're like guilted into being with him. Like that's right. Toxic.
Well, if you read the books, yeah, PETA got what he deserved.
Oh, 100% he did.
But let's go ahead. Mason, you want to bring us our last story of the day?
Yes. So in more positive news, actually, in the last episode, we were speaking on Black Adam and how we enjoyed it. It was a little above average in terms of the viewing experience. And it seems that the public agrees with that sentiment because it has smashed the box office in terms of how much money is made. And now we're speaking globally, of course. I believe it's at $250 million.
Absolutely. Now that is some coin. But yes. How much did it cost to make?
So it cost $149 million.
Okay, so they're making their money back. Profit.
Yeah, they definitely made their money back.
It's not a flop, so that's always a good.
No, it is definitely not a flop.
Obviously, the critics don't like it because they very rarely like superhero films. But the audience, I want to say the audience score on Rotten Tomatoes is close to what, like 90%?
Yeah, it's really fucking high. I don't know. I agree with the audience on this.
Yeah, one. It was a good, solid action film. You know, it was entertaining. I liked it. You guys liked it.
Wait,
so I liked it more than you guys.
Yeah,
I'll say that.
That is 100% true.
Yes,
but I am no movie critic. I am just I am an enjoyer of media.
Yes,
and entertainment.
Like, even though I gave it like a 7.5 out of 10, I still think it's worth seeing. It's entertaining. It's a solid film.
Yes, absolutely.
And I said okay.
Shut up.
But yeah, so if you want to go watch Black Adam, I believe it's still in theaters. Be sure to check it out. Support The Rock. He's a good guy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, The Rock's such a good dude in general, so.
I just wish he would come out with Shobbs and Hobbs too.
Yeah, right?
Which I don't think he's going to do because I think he swore off the Fast and Furious series. But that is our time today. This one was fun, guys. We actually
talked
a lot.
It really was. It was a good time.
Yeah. So as always, guys, if you like what we do here on the Uninformed Gamers podcast, be sure to give us a like and a share anywhere you listen to your podcast. That includes Apple Podcasts as well as Spotify, plus a bunch of other sites that I do not have in front of me to tell you. If you like what we do and you want to give some actual constructive feedback, feel free to hit up the Twitter page at Uninformed Gamers and just shoot me a message. Let me know your thoughts and give us your thoughts on the episode, what you like, what you don't like. If you want to game with me directly, I am Darkness Tiger on Xbox and Darkness Tiger 2 on the PlayStation Plus network. Please do let me know why you're sending me a friend request, because I get a lot of friend requests and I think it's weird. All right, guys, go ahead and do your sign-offs.
I've been Mason from Rad Dreams Review on YouTube, so feel free to check me out on that channel. I should be posting up a video that I mentioned earlier on, probably later tonight after this podcast. So look forward to that and watching it. You could also check me out on Twitter and Twitch at Rad_Dreams.
Awesome. And I am Chameleon. You can find me on Twitter at Chameleon Games. That is the best place currently to get a hold of me.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for joining us.
Later.
See you next time. Bye.